Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through. We continue with another chat by the fireside, a relevant study of the Book of Revelation with Dr. Gregory Denation, resident minister at Juvenati Mission, as he responds to questions on the Book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Denation in part 37 of Understanding the Times.
Now, what was significant about the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament? It's the place where God came down. It's the place where he met and encountered his people. It's where he made his presence known and where he was manifested. So this city, therefore, literally refers to God coming down and manifesting his presence in our midst as an eternal reality. No longer just one day on the Day of Atonement or at other special times in the Old Testament, but now permanently. And when you look at the foundations of the city, in verse 19, they were decorated with every kind of precious stone. And then the first foundation was jasper, the second. And so it goes on until you come to the 12th, which was amethyst. 12 foundation stones. It could have been 13, could have been 9, but it was 12. Why? Because also 12,000 stadia. The number 12 is very significant there. So the foundations were 12 stones, and that refers, obviously, to the leadership of the Old Testament. That was the foundation on which all of this truth was built. And then we read in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each gate made of a single pearl. So there were 12 gates, and you'll know that the names of the apostles were written on these 12 gates. So here you have both the Old Testament and then ultimately the building emerging, the New Testament, symbolized by the number 12, because that was the leadership of the Old Testament as well as the leadership of the New Testament. That would make it 24. We read where the seals are opened up and there's a vision of the throne. There are 24 elders, 12 plus 12, before the throne. So the city, therefore, is a manifestation of God's presence. There will be no separation anymore, no distance anymore. It will be a very real experience of him all the time. And because it's pure joy and fulfillment and satisfaction and well-being, you know, it's heaven on earth, literally.
I also wondered about those 24 elders. Who were they? Why only 24? So now when you said it was the 12, it represented from the Old Testament and the New Testament, the 12 and the 12. So
that's correct. That's why there's 24. And again, it brings us back to the number 2. Eh? So it's 12 for the Old Testament, 12 for the New Testament. So the Old Covenant is recognized by the 12 tribes of Israel. The New Covenant is recognized by the 12 apostles.
Adding on to that question about the building, she asked, what is the significance of the foundation of the walls of the building where it was decorated with precious stones? For example, the 12th foundation was amethyst. What is the significance of those 12 foundations and for those precious stones?
Well, every single one of those jewels are costly. The church was established, whether it was the Old Testament faith community or the New Testament faith community. It was established at great price, at great cost. There's a lot of suffering, a lot of hardship, a lot of difficulty, a lot of endurance was necessary. So it cost a lot. It was very, very expensive. Ultimately, it cost the blood of Jesus. So that is priceless. There is no other way on earth that the value of this city can be expressed other than to take that which is of the highest esteem in human experience and say, Well, there it is. It's actually beyond this. See this beauty. See this value. See this quality. See what we're dealing with here. It's not rubbish. It's not rusted tin. We are dealing with sapphires, chalcedony, jasper, which is like a diamond, emerald, sardonyx, carnelian, chrysolite. These are the most precious jewels that existed on the face of the earth. And they were not easily found. They were rare. That's why they had such high value as well. We treasured this. And obviously, because it's expressed in jewels, this is man's treasure. When the Lord Jesus said, your heart will be where your treasure is, can you imagine now if the treasure is built into these foundations and the gates, like the gates are pearl, each one is a pearl, then your heart's going to be there because that's your treasure. There is no greater treasure than this. So it's to express the value. It's to express its exquisiteness, its beauty, its enjoyment, everything that we regard as of high value. It's contained in that. We would not want to have anything else in this world that we would regard precious would pale in comparison to the fullness of jewelry that is within this city.
Okay, so from another listener, we have another question. Revelation has seven Beatitudes, just as the Sermon on the Mount. So she's asking, please can you expound on these and tell us the significance of them and how it should encourage the believers to read the book of Revelation?
Well, if you look at the very first Beatitude that is expressed there, and it's interesting that you don't have any indication that there would be any more. It's almost like a treasure which you have to mine for. You read the first one, which is in chapter 1 and verse 3. I'm reading from the NIV, and it's used twice there, the word, but it's only contained once in the original. So what the NIV did was, to make the sentence read easier, they doubled it up, because the verb there, or the word that is used, applies to both phrases. Let me explain. Verse 3 in the NIV says, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. And, now if you leave the word blessed out there in the English text, it would read, and the one who reads the words of this prophecy. And the one who hears it. And who takes to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. The word blessed is in Greek makarioi. That actually means three times blessed. And look how it comes out as a threefold blessing there. So you have the word blessed up in front. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. It's up front. So you can say it's the capstone of what is going to follow. So who is blessed? Firstly, the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Secondly, those who hear it. Thirdly, those who take to heart what is written in it. So the word itself, makarioi, has got a threefold meaning of being threefold blessed. And then there are three phrases that link to the threefold blessed content of that blessing. So, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. The word is not repeated again in the Greek because it's implied. Blessed are those who hear it. And then it's applied once more. Blessed are those who take to heart what is written in it. Indeed, three times blessed. Now, it is interwoven through the text from chapter 1 to chapter 22. But interestingly enough, it appears many more times in the second act than in the first act. Maybe we can just go to those different verses. Normally, when we do this in real time, I ask the folk to do this for homework, that they go and look it up and see where does the word blessed appear and how many times in the book of Revelation. And then of course, it's a revelation to them, and that's the book of Revelation, that it appears only seven times. So the first act is in chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear it. And blessed are those who take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. You will notice I have inserted the word blessed three times, just like the NIV had inserted it the second time. Literally, as it is in the Greek, it would have read, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it would have read like this. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and those who hear it, and take to heart what is written. You see, it doesn't appear three times. It appears only once, but it's a threefold blessing. Now, the next time we encounter the Beatitude is in chapter 14, verse 13. So it's only once in the first act, and then it is six times in the second act. And there's a very good reason for that. It's anchored here in Revelation 1, verse 3. But keep in mind that the first act deals with how events unfold physically in the real world on earth, whereas Act 2 gives us a spiritual perspective from a heavenly point of view, everything that unfolded on the earth. So now you read in chapter 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. So there's a blessing expressed there, comforting those who were suffering severely under the Roman persecution at the time it was written, telling them that this might appear to be like a curse to you because it has to do with death, you are suffering. But actually, there's a blessing in it, because you will rest from your labor, and your good works, your deeds, everything that you had done will follow you. The next time it's used, this is the third time, would be in Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, said the Lord Jesus, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him, so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. There's a lot of innuendo, a lot of meaning attached to that, because it takes us all the way back to what happened to Adam and Eve. When they discovered they were naked, they were robbed. You know, it was at a great price that they were clothed. An animal was sacrificed. Its blood was shed. That skin was taken that covered them. So blessed is he who stays awake. He doesn't get hoodwinked and caught like Adam and Eve got caught. But he keeps his clothes with him. He's covered. And in this case, it's the righteous acts of Christ. We are clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus so that we may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then we come to chapter 19, verse 9. And you see, the closer we come to the end, the more often it is repeated. It's all like almost packed together more intensely as we come to the end. We read in chapter 19, verse 9, the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. I mean, it speaks for itself. Can you imagine if you're invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb?
That was Dr. Gregory Donation in part 37 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through again, go to the Iona FM and search for Thinking It Through, or download the free GNCR 93.6 FM app from the App Store and go to podcasts. Stay tuned for part 38 of this Fireside Chat tomorrow.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.